Go ahead and turn your Bibles. We got a handful of spots, okay? So we are thankful. A lot of places we're not able to have church today, so praise God for His provisions, even giving us a place to come to. But we have a lot to tackle today. And so we're going to understand the Bible more clearly and what God is doing in the midst of it from the shoes that we stand in. And so we have a lot of Scripture to read. And so I don't want you to be overwhelmed by it, but I want you to see it. And so we're going to look at the bookends of Genesis, and we're also going to look at the bookend of the book of Revelation, and then we're going to sink our teeth into what is God doing in the meat of Scripture. So do me a favor. You know where the book of Revelation is for most of you. It's the last book, so you don't have to put a tassel there. I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis 1. That's where we're going to start. And then I want you to go ahead and have a tassel in Ephesians 1. Because when we get to Ephesians, we're going to be moving quickly. And I think you can get to Revelation pretty quickly. And so go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis 1. We have a lot of Scripture to tackle there. I want you to stay with me. A handful of verses. And a handful of verses, you might say, Hunter, I know these verses. I've heard these verses. This is famous territory for all VBS messages moving forward. I get how God created. But for you to understand what God is doing, you have to see the creation and you have to see the end. And so we are going to make sure that we read the creation story. We're going to pray with one another. And then we're going to jump into the end in the book of Revelation. And then we're going to rest in His rescue. And so as you flip in the Bible, understand how we got here this morning. And so last week, my family was not here. Praise God for brothers like Jacob who did a phenomenal job of teaching for me in my absence. And so last week, Stoney teaches a Sunday school class, which is going great, about the American church and American faith. And every week he's tackled something different about how American received either the story of Jesus, how he taught it and how he founded our country on Christ, and or just the Bible in general, about how the Bible is constructed and then how it came to our country. And that's where he was last week in his Sunday school class, is simply the Bible. And so last week, even though I was not here, he calls me and he says, Hunter, I'm asking a lot of people and there's going to be a lot of different variations of verbiage, but I want you to give me what the Bible is in just one sentence. You have one sentence and there's a lot of pages here, but I just want you in a few words from our pastor, what is the Bible? It's a hard thing to tackle in a sentence. There's a lot of things you could say that is correct. But how would you answer that, church? What would you tell your child? What would you tell your neighbor? What would you tell the lost? What is Scripture? And so I honestly, before I answer it for you guys in my vocabulary and simple mind, understand that I get that question a lot. I'm usually given more than a sentence opportunity, but I get asked a lot of what is the Bible? Some of you, I've sat with you many, many, many times, and I've heard it, I feel like literally a million times of, Hunter, like I hear this, but I have a hard time retaining it. Like, I read this, but I have a hard time understanding this. And so the joke is people flood this church, and we've heard it countless times of, I'm understanding this for the first time in my life, and God is stirring my affections. Like, I love to worship. Church is not a burden. I'm growing closer to Christ. And so in my downtime, when I'm at home and I wake up early, I open the Bible, and I'm going to dig into this thing, Genesis 1. And Hunter, by the time I get to Genesis 7, I'm lost as can be, right? We laugh because all of you, including myself, have that story where we said, I'm going to read this whole thing and I want to understand it more. And we get very overwhelmed, right? So how would you answer it in a sentence? Where there's, like I said, there's a lot of ways of answering this. But for me, your pastor, I would simply answer the question of, what is this Bible in this way? This is God's greatness through God's rescue of His people. I told my sons this morning, as my sons love adventure and Indiana Jones and treasure hunting and all those kind of movies, I go, hey, this is the adventures of God by rescuing what He desires most, and that is His people. That is what this is. And so this morning as I prayed, or this week as I prayed, God, what would you have me preach to the people on this day in which I hope that they are able to get out of their driveways and come here? God placed on my heart of teaching what is the Bible. And from the shoes that you and I stand in this morning, from man's perspective, in the worth that we've been in for the last 4 weeks, how does man's view of his life in the eyes of God seem in the beauty of his word? So we're going to see in Genesis 1, as I told you, to see the fullness of Scripture, we have to start in the beginning and we also have to see the end. And so we have a lot of Scripture, okay? I want you to hang with me. And I don't want you to lose me. So no matter how old you are, no matter if you can read or not, if you're too young to read, just open your Bible up and stare at the words, okay? Get that discipline. Get your highlighters out. It's time to get to work. I want you to see it, because this morning, no matter how good the sermon is, God's Word will always be better than mine. And so I want your Bibles open. I want you to see it for yourself, for you to understand the meat. You have to understand the beginning and the end, okay? And so this is God's word in Genesis 1, verse 1. Verse 1. In the beginning, will you highlight it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you're a note taker, and I'm not going to stop after every verse, this will take 9 years, okay? I want you to highlight that first verse, because it's important, because it's going to connect to everything that we do here this morning. If you're a note taker, you write in your Bible, you got a journal, whatever it is that you have, just write home. In the beginning, God created home. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And guess what, church? There was light. And God saw that the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And so the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let the firmament of the midst of the waters, and let it be divided by the waters from the other waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together all of the waters, and he called the waters sea. And God saw that it was good. Then God said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And so the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and the seasons, for days and the years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Verse 16. Then God made two great lights. Will you highlight 16? We're going to go back to it near the end of the message in Revelation. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and rule over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. And so God created the sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the water abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw, guess what, church, that it was what? Good. Amen. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And so it was. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, hang with me, highlight 26. Then God said, let us. Who is us? It is the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus Christ. It is God. It is the Trinity. It is the origin, the rookie card of Christ. Let us make man in our image. Christ has been there from Genesis 1. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of this earth, and every tree who yields fruit and seed, to you it shall be for food. Verse 30. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw, highlight at church, then God saw everything that He had made. And indeed, it was very good. So on the sixth evening and morning, so the evening and the morning were in the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth. We have seven verses in chapter 2. And thus in the heavens and the earth and all host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work in which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all of His work in which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and He sanctified it, because in it He rested from all of His work which God had created and made. Verse 4. This is the history. This is the history of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant, before any field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Highlight 7, and we're about to pray. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Let's pray for our time. God, I love Your word. I love Your word. God, I feel like we could have just kept reading. God, I thank You for Your truth, and I thank You for Your Son, the cross, and Your people. Lord, as we sit here today, people who have been stuck inside or slipping on roads, and we're pulled in a lot of different directions, and we might be behind schedule of things that we need to do, Lord, I pray that You slow us down even more this morning. All responsibilities can wait, Lord. I pray that You draw our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our attentions, our souls on Your word. Lord, I pray that we rest in Your rescue. God, I thank You for Your creation and what we're about to read. I anticipate with gladness Your return. Lord, I pray for my young ones and those who have memorized God's word, who are seniors in life. Lord, I pray that we feast our attention on Your truth. Let us leave closer to You than when we returned or when we came. God, thank You for our people. In the name of Your Son, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the church says in harmony, amen. And now the end. Go to Revelation 20 for me. Man, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed reading Genesis 1 and 2. It's going to make Stoney want to teach another class. Go to Revelation 20. And then Brent will be right behind him in Revelation, so it'll be good. Look at 20, verse 7. Not as many verses, but a handful. So we understand out of God's goodness and His grace and His desire for man, He created life, right? And so this is the return. Here is the goodness in the end. Look at Revelation 20, verse 7. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And they went up and breadth of the earth surrounded the camps of the saints of the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast of the false prophet are, and there will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Will you highlight verse 11 for me? Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works and by the things in which were written in that book. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death of Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Have we not traveled so far from Genesis 1? When we see this moment of how God created earth, and we have this moment of where the end is, and the end is very much good news, but you know something has happened since Revelation 1, church. It says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death of Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Will you highlight 21, verse 1 through 4, please? Now I saw, remember Genesis 1, okay? You don't have to flip, but I'm going to read it to you, okay? Because I need you to see the bookends. You got nothing else to do today. Everything's slippery. We can take our time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now look at verse 21, verse 1, okay? Chapter 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. Then John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear. He will wipe away every tear from every eye. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more sorrow. There shall be no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Praise God. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, then he sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write for these things words that are true and faithful. And he said, it is done. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life. The woman at the well we just read. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. And so last week, January 15th, my family celebrated on a day in the adoption circle that you would call Gotcha Day. And we celebrated the life of my daughter, Lennon. And you go, honey, I've never heard of Gotcha Day. Is that Chinese? No, that's slang American. It just means the day I gotcha. It's very simple. And so 6 years ago, on January 15th, we traveled halfway around the world and we got my daughter. And so we celebrate just God giving us her and her life and how much we love her on that day. And so the idea of adoption is really the idea of rescue, and it's one of the greatest, if not the best, illustration of salvation in all of Scripture. That's why Scripture identifies our salvation as adoption in so many different verses. 6 years ago, we traveled to China. That was 3 years of planning before that. Like, understand, in the midst of those 3 years, before we got my daughter, we said yes to Lennon and we said yes to adoption before my wife was even pregnant with Lila. And so we got pregnant and had the baby and was living with Lila in the midst of planning for Lennon. And so it was 3 years of adventure, a wild, amazing adventure to receive my daughter and then travel halfway around the world. And then 20 days in China was, once again, a wild adventure. It made me think about our rescue and everything that takes place in the meat of Scripture. Of Hunter, how would you describe the Bible? We have creation and we have His return. In one sentence, what would you say here? And I would say, this is God's adoption of His people. And so I looked at my daughter and I praised God for her life. And as I sat as a dad and rested in the rescue, understand from that biblical perspective, that is our story. Like, the day of your salvation is your gotcha day. For God to step forward in your life and for you to see His perfection and for you to see His sin and for you to understand the price, which we've talked about for the last month, that God paid for those that He would call His. Your adoption story is like her adoption story. It is very simple. It is a story of love and lostness and abandonment and a desire from the buyer. That is your worth. I will go anywhere to receive that which I desire most. As I told you, all throughout Scripture, we see this word adoption. Why? Because that is what you are. You were abandoned. You were lost. You were an orphan. That is what we just sang. And what do we see? That God would go to the ends of the earth to bring you back home. We see it in Ephesians 1. I told you to put a tassel there. If you didn't believe we were going to get there, I'll give you a second to go back. But I want you to see it. That's why we see this word adoption all throughout Scripture. Remember, we were born in the graveyard. In Ephesians 1, we just look at verses 3 through 7 and we highlight all of it. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual being in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." That you were His before what we just read. You hear me? That Jesus Christ did not come to this earth seeing who would follow. He came for you. He knew this. He loves you. He desired you. He knew what He came for. It says here, having predestined us to what? Adoption. As sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Keep highlighting, in Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of His sins according to the riches of His grace. So I thought this week as we thank God for my daughter's life, I thought about that China trip and I was going through pictures and just thinking about that whole adventure and understand there was a lot to do. Adoption in general is very complicated. There's a lot of papers to sign and a lot of meetings to sit through and a lot of government people to meet with. Travel halfway around the world to China and it's much more complicated. And so I remember sitting there and just thinking about all the hurdles to jump through and all the things to do, all the papers to sign. But at the end of the day, even in the midst of the 3 years of planning, please understand me, church, we went to China for two reasons. There was a lot that we had to do. There was a lot that we had to accomplish. There was a lot of hours to plan through. But understand, at the essence of all of it, we went for two reasons, and that is to receive my daughter and to bring her home. That was the only two reasons we went. Like, we did not go to China to stay. We didn't go to China to help this sweet girl in the midst of where we found her. We went to China to bring her home. That is the Bible. The story of Scripture. Please hear me, because I think this is a wild thought to some that you might not have thought about. It's simple in its thought, but it's deep in its meaning. In Scripture, Scripture has always been more about God bringing you home than saving you from hell. Amen. You hear me? This has always been more about taking you out of this place than saving you from fire. And so I sit with people constantly and they go, oh, I am convicted, I am heavy, I am burdened, I don't want to go to hell. Well, praise God, I don't either. But this is not about saving you from hell, even though that is a gift of it. It is about being with your Father in heaven. He came here not for you to have your best life here or to save you from damnation. He came here to bring you home. That is Scripture. That is Scripture. That is the Bible. Please hear me, young person. That is why I'm so against these sermons and these churches and these pastors that focus so much on like living your best life here with little Jesus sprinkles on top of it. Jesus Christ did not come die on a cross for you to live your best life here. Jesus Christ came perfectly, as my brother Brent said, to lay down His perfect life to bring you home. You don't have to flip. I want you to just hear me because there's a lot of flipping going on. Just listen to God's word in Hebrews 13. It says, therefore, Jesus also, that He may sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hang with me. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach, for we have no continuing city here. This is not our home. For we have no continuing city here. But guess what, church? We seek the One to come. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You see, church, this isn't Eden. Nor is it heaven. For believers, this is the plane ride home. This is the gas station in which we stop on the way to the beach. And any kind of issue that we have in this life, any pain, any sickness, any death, that is just turbulence. But here's the good news that it says in God's Word in John 16. Here's the goodness about turbulence that we might feel on the ride home. These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. Why? In this world you will have tribulation. You will have turbulence, church. But be of good cheer. I have overcome it. You got a flat, but I got spares. God did not send His Son to take your goodness and make it great. We went to China to take my daughter home. That is your story. That is our life. In Colossians 3:2, set your minds on the things above, not on the things below. In Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. That is why if you have been at this church, we say it constantly, we are aliens to this world. My citizenship does not exist to this planet. We are citizens of heaven, which we so eagerly wait for a Savior ride home, right? And our cars are driven by the Lord Jesus Christ, it says. As you read Scripture, for you guys that have been overwhelmed by God's Word, and for all my overachievers, please hear me. When you read God's Word and you study it, one thing that I've noticed as I sink my teeth into understanding all the stories and all the characters and all the verses, I see this common thread that life is much more about keeping our eyes on Him and the life to come than the goals and the desires here on earth. As I said, for my young man who's an overachiever and really wants to take this life by the horns, understand my words as a warning. Like, I'm to an age now and to a life and a reality that I might not achieve all of my desires here on earth that I set forth many years ago. And there was a time in my life, such a thing coming out of my mouth, that I won't experience what I desire to experience. That would have cut me to the heart. How could I fail, right? But here's the truth. As you and I get older and you understand time and reality, time is quick. And there's a lot of hurdles to jump over. And the truth is, I might not get that in-ground pool that I thought that I would get one day. Wendy and I have been talking about it for 20 years, and I think that it might not happen. I might not be able to swim with great whites like I thought I would when I was 20. And for you guys that have heard me mention the 82 Corvette red convertible, I might not own it. And there was a day, if I would have said that I didn't get to achieve what my heart desires here on earth, that would greatly burden me. But as I dig my teeth into Scripture and I grow closer to Christ, I am unsatisfied with the desires of this life. You know why? Because the things that I don't experience here, church, better waits for me there. What I don't have here, better waits for me there. What I don't experience here, what I don't have here, what I don't see here, better waits for me there. As we talk about the illustration of the gas station, for those that desire and love the things of this world, it's the same people who desire and love the things of Buc-ee's. As good as it is and fun to go, it's still a gas station. Still a gas station. They sell the same Snickers as Shell and Huntington does. Just more of them. And so you get here in life and you go, you know what? I have so many desires. I want to climb such ladders. I want to achieve such things. I want to own so much. And you get to a space and you go, I don't have all that I want. Understand, God did not come here for you to have these things. He came here to take you home. We're going to a better space. And you say, hey, Hunter, I'm overwhelmed by this book. I'm overwhelmed by this book. I understand that God created me, and I understand that there's going to be an end. But how would you explain everything in the middle? This is God coming to bring you home. You are not a citizen of this space. God loves you and desires you before Genesis 1. You were His child before you took your first breath. He knew the hairs on your head before your mother even existed. God's desire is not to you for you to fulfill your goals here on earth, but it is for you to be with Him in heaven. That is the Bible. And it's a lot of different characters and a lot of different stories and a lot of big words that some of us have a hard time pronouncing, but it's the same message. God is perfect. Jesus is in the way. Jesus is the way, and He desires to own His children. It says this in Revelation 22. It's the last time I have you flip. I want you to see it, please. I love this verse. I love these verses. And it goes right back to Genesis. And it is such good news. Look at Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. For all of you that are overwhelmed and confused by Revelation, understand it's probably one of the most encouraging books in all of the Bible. The book of Revelation is when the plane wheels hit the ground. Look at verses 1 through 5 and just highlight all of it with me. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear and crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle, we're back at Eden, in the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding in the first fruit of the month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. Highlighted, if you haven't highlighted yet. Therefore, there shall be no night there. It's better than Eden. There is no night there. There is no need for a lamp, nor light of the sun. Why? For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever. I remember returning home with my daughter. You can see in that picture right there. It's a young Braden and Briley right there, and Liam in London. And so I remember returning. We had been there for 20 days. I hadn't seen my kids. And, you know, for like a 20-hour flight, Lennon brought her best. So everybody was tired. And I remember getting there, walking through the terminal. And I remember just seeing all of those family members and all of those loved ones and church members. And I remember seeing those poster boards, "Home at last." Like, if you can't read it, let me read it to you. "Home at last. We love you, Lennon. Welcome home, Lennon." Excited and cheering and signs waving. So happy that Lennon was home. In Luke 15, Jesus says, "I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." I believe that this will be the scene from heaven. That there is no more fear, there is no more war, there is no more death. You are surrounded by angels who are cheering in the presence of your Creator back home. Like wheels have touched the ground, you are back where you belong. I believe David Evans walks in and people are cheering with signs wavering. There is no more sickness, no more death, no more poverty, no more hurt, no more pain. And you will reign forever and ever and ever in the presence of Jesus Christ. And you are back home. That is the Bible. In more than a sentence. You know, guys, I was thinking just this morning, if I could have given you a sentence for years before this sermon, I would have told you, please understand what I'm saying to you here. I would have told you that there is creation, and there is His return, and then there is our rescue. But honestly, church, this is more about our return than even our rescue. And what I mean by that is, do I deserve heaven? No. Am I worthy of heaven? No. Can I earn heaven? No. Do I belong in heaven? Yes. Why? Because God wants me there. He was always my home. He was always my home. I had a mansion before I breathed. China wasn't waiting on us. I want you to understand me. Before the biological woman even got pregnant, we had her room painted. We had already named my daughter. We had clothes waiting for her. She was mine already. As we close, because this is your life, I want you to hang on this. About the goodness of God and how much He loves you. The truth is, not that I'm against it, but we don't celebrate Gotcha Day. My daughter, as I'm preaching right now, she has no idea even what that word means, because she's never really heard it. And it's a sweet concept, and I'm not against people who do celebrate it, but we don't even acknowledge it in my home. Because when I look at my daughter, I always tell her, like you were always mine. There is no other father but me. No matter when we were separated, you belong to me. There is no day that I rescued you. There was no day that I got you. I always had you. You were always mine. You always had a room in my house. That's what we just sang. And so understanding the essence of the Bible and God's greatness, we're about to pray, in God's greatness and His perfection and His sovereignty, there's creation. There's the end, because we have royally messed things up. But in the midst of all of it, it is God touching down to receive what He desires and bring you back home. Because that's where you belong. You belong with Him because you are a child of God. And guess what? That is good news. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. God, thank you for being a father. That we were abandoned, that we were lost, and that you would find us in the midst of our foolishness and our lostness, and our addictions, and our sin, that you would travel the world to receive what you desire most and to bring us back home, Lord. Let us live a life to praise you. That is what we do. On this journey of life, which is great, it is a blessing, it is a gift. Let us fill our life as we eagerly await home. As we are in midair, knowing that the signs await us in the terminal in which we will walk through. As we are in the air, let us spend that trip praising God for our family. That we have an amazing Father. That we have an amazing Creator. That you created us and that you sent a Son so we would have a ticket home. Because there is no other way to get back to where we belong other than what your Son accomplished for us on the cross. And Lord, in that, let us spend every second, minute, hour, week, month, year of our life praising God for the home that waits for us. That is the Bible. God, thank you for your word, your people, your church. Your cross and your blood. Thank you for your grace, mercy, and love. Thank you for your home. And in your precious name, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the church says in harmony, Amen.